If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome to the fourth hour of The Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. And we've had a wild past few days, maybe even past week, on Instagram, on X, on the news, on everywhere online has gone insane over the fact that the Pope recently announced quite an alliance with Islam as he visited various mosques in Algiers. Now, what's funny is that not only did he say that he thought that the West should be less fearful of Islam and that now mosques are proper spaces dedicated to God, this is absolutely antithetical to everything that the history of the Catholic Church, for example, the way it positioned itself throughout the Middle Ages in opposition to Islam, in opposition to the taking over of the Holy Land by Muslims, thus launching several crusades for the purpose of bringing the Holy Land back under the sway of Christian kings and emperors and so forth. All of that has been pretty much undone by the post-1960s Vatican II revolution in the Roman Catholic Church through the documents of Vatican II, such as Nostra Aetate and Lumen Gentium. Both of those documents contain within them significant chapters and sections that deal with the opening up, you could say, of the attitude of what the church is and who God's people are, to now include any group that professes any kind of generic theism or perhaps even deism. The book or the documents of Vatican II specify that now Roman Catholics, Muslims, and Jews all worship the same God together, and that the plan of salvation now includes Islam. That's the terminology explicitly from Vatican II. What's wild about this, again, is the radical departure from the attitude that the church had throughout the Middle Ages. Now, on top of that, this is taking place, that is, Pope Leo's discussions and statements, at the same time as there's Christian persecution by Islam, by Western proxy Islamic groups in places like Nigeria and Sudan and Syria, where we saw, for example, the installing of Jolani and the destruction of countless Orthodox, Catholic, and other Christian groups in Syria, the oldest sites of Christianity, Syrian Antioch, is where the Christians are first called Christians in the book of Acts. And in the midst of all of this, Pope Leo comes out and says, we must be less fearful of Islam. As we are told, we should open our borders and accept more migrants. We just saw in Spain, the Roman Catholic Church affirmed and agreed with the importation of hundreds of thousands of new migrants. And this is all, of course, by design to destroy the existing European peoples and their nation states. This was admitted about a century ago or more in the Kalergi plan by Count Kudenhof Kalergi. He wrote a book called Practical Idealism. And in that book, he says that we will breed out through bringing in countless foreign groups and entities, particularly Muslims, into Europe to destroy the existing people group. He says, then they will be, quote, mongrelized, his words, and there will be a Jewish supremacy that will arise out of this. That's not my words. That's his words in Practical Idealism. This plan of Kalergi was presented to the Royal Society elites, and they said, we like your plan, and we like Lord Lionel Curtis's plan of the Commonwealth of God, a kind of generic socialist federation. Along the lines of Cecil Rhodes and John Ruskin's plan for a new order of the world. So all of these plans and discussions and theories that people mention, is it the British Empire, is it the Rothschilds and their Zionist approach? It's all of those things together. They all synthesize very well together. At the same time, we had a woman throughout all the large Roman Catholic websites like LifeSite News. Her name was Liz Yohr, and she gave a talk at a recent conservative Catholic event. And as I guess she's a journalist or something to do with the pro-life organizations. And she used to work with Catholic Charities. And she said that Catholic Charities is not the only entity responsible for the importation and destruction of the borders in the U.S. and in the West. She says that the Catholic Church itself and its diocese and its bishops are openly, adamantly supporting this importation, and they make tremendous amounts of money from it. Now, there's a monetary angle to it, but there's also a longer, larger technocratic socialist plan to reshape the nations, to reshape the continents into socialist unions. We're going to talk about where that plan comes from and who planned it, how old that plan is here in a moment when we look at some of these texts that we have. But I also wanted to mention that Leo had a pretty wild statement where he said that the reason that Muslims and Christians can get together is because, quote, we both share a view of Mary that leads to communion. He says, quote, communion between Christians and Muslims takes shape under the mantle of Our Lady of Africa. Here in Algeria, the maternal love of Lala Mariam, or maybe Lala Rona, gathers everyone as children with rich diversity, with shared aspiration of dignity, love, justice, and peace. Communion is a specific term that has to do with sharing in the body and blood of Christ. It's a Eucharistic sacramental reality. So for him to use that terminology with Muslims who don't believe in anything like that at all is absolutely bizarre and intentional, I would argue. Just like when Vatican II says that Muslims, Christians, and Jews all worship the same God, the assumption is kind of like a Freemasonic teaching that we're all on the same path, and all those religions are now salvific and can lead to our final goal. Thus, it really negates the person of Christ. Remember, Jesus said in John 14, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. In 1 John 2, verses 20 to 22, it says that if you reject the Son, you don't get the Father. So anyone who rejects Christ as the Messiah does not have the Father. And I have to wonder if these people know anything about Islam, because Islam explicitly says Allah is not a father and has no sons. He doesn't have human sons. He doesn't have a son of God. So Allah is explicitly not the God of Jesus and not the God of the Christians, according to the Muslims. So this is a really preposterous, ultimately Freemasonic teaching that all the religions are really just masks of the same generic theism or generic deity. And I think that it also comes in the context of this bizarre back and forth that we're having between Trump, his administration, and the people within it, and the papacy. So it's hard to figure out like exactly what's going on here. There was the story that Cardinal Christoph back in January was invited to the Pentagon and spoke to several members of Trump's administration. And there was reportedly tense words exchanged and perhaps even intimidation and, quote, threats. We don't know exactly what was said, but allegedly, according to news reports, there were discussions of the Avignon papacy as a reminder to the Pope who really runs things. That's a reference to the time when the Western Church was what's under what's called the Great Western Captivity in the Middle Ages. And this has to do with about 70 years where the seat of Peter moved from Rome to France, Avignon, France. And at that point, it was under almost a century of French kings controlling and running the papacy, the supposed chair of Peter in France. It eventually went back to Rome. But the reference appears to have been a coded, or perhaps not even coded, statement that the state is who's running things. And perhaps because this is an American pope, he was being reminded that you're an American, and the Pentagon, the State Department, and the elites that control it are running things. So Francis and Leo might have spoken out against wars, but the position that they're giving against the wars isn't the historic Roman Catholic position on just war. They might argue that it's not a just war. But Leo went so far as to say that no wars waged in the name of God have anything to do with righteousness, and God doesn't hear any of those prayers when you wage war in the name of God. He must not be familiar with all of those Old Testament passages where war was waged in the name of God. And he must have forgotten that his own papacy waged many wars in the Middle Ages, including the Papal States itself having many of its own wars and its own standing army. Particularly during the Medici period, Pope Alexander VI had his own standing army. All of that is erased because the papacy has decided now that it's in a kind of socialist, technocratic, pro-WEF, pro-globalist era of its papacy. But that doesn't mean that I have to then say, well, then Donald Trump is right, and we must go to war for Israel, and we must do everything that Israel wants. I had a debate with Andrew Meyer, a guy that is a nice guy. We met him in person. He came on my channel the other day, and we did a debate on whether or not this was in the best interest of America to go to war in Iran. And it wasn't really about Israel. But the funny thing is that as soon as, for example, the oil was seized in the Maduro operation, that oil, according to mainstream news reports, went directly to Israel. So the oil that were supposedly is supposedly for some of these apologists the basis for why we're engaging in these operations, including the Maduro event and the exfiltration of him, as well as the Iran event, is supposedly to help shore up American oil interests and to help number go up for GDP. Now, I don't think that's really helping anything. It's an absurd line of argumentation. And that line of argumentation, as we see many of the Trump apologists laying out, really this is, I think, devaluing humanity at the expense of the GDP. This is what Pam Bondi said, right? Who cares about Epstein if number go up, if GDP go up? So who cares if we're run by PDF pedophile elites, if the elites are compromising and controlling politicians? Who cares? Because number go up. Well, number's not even going up. And plus, if the dollar is inflated into oblivion and collapses, the number will always go up because there will always be more dollars printed. And you can always inflate and give the impression that the economy is doing well through all of this trickery. But we all know that it's not doing well. And anyone under the age of boomer basically can't buy a house or own property or plan for any kind of normal family lifestyle. And that's all by design. The plans, of course, are to destroy the economy, eventually to transition us into some kind of global economy. And all of that was, again, discussed at Bilderberg, as we saw this week. And Dan Dix did a great coverage of that. Alex had Dan Dix on. That was a great show. If you missed it, I would say go watch that, because no one covered Bilderberg. Dan Dix, myself on YouTube, Alex talking to Dan Dix, and Jason Burmes. That was it. No one else covered Bilderberg, because apparently all of that went away, right? Once Trump got in, oh, it's all fixed. Bilderberg doesn't matter anymore. There's no such thing as elite steering committees, technocrats, et cetera, zillionaires running things. No, they all stepped down because Trump. And yet in the last 8 months to a year, we've seen a disastrous turn by the Trump administration for the worse, particularly pivoting at the point of saying that who cares about Epstein? You're not MAGA. If you want to know about Epstein, if you want people prosecuted, you're low IQ. And then we get a blasphemous presentation of Trump as Jesus healing people in their sick beds, healing the boomers as they lay on their sick beds from COVID and the stabbies that they got and the boosters. And of course, no, this isn't Jesus. This is just Trump as a doctor. I don't know doctors that wear red Jesus robes, but apparently it's supposed to be just a doctor with the hosts of heaven behind him. All of this is absurd. And I think we see a sort of megalomaniacal turn, which is very unfortunate because we did see so many good things happening. So we have to remember there were a lot of good actions and a lot of good movements early on. But things have turned for the worse, and it has to oftentimes do with foreign policy, because once we get to that issue, we realize that we are not as free as we thought we were. And we are quickly reminded of the oligarchical elite in the background that still run and still control things. The overall agenda still marches forward. As Theo Vaughn said, we got politicians and Dalai Lama slurping on kids. And nobody is saying anything about it. Everyone's acting like this is business as usual. Theo Vaughn was 100% correct. Now, what does this mean? It means that we cannot fix things and we cannot assume that some single politician has the means and the ability to overturn a massive centuries-long oligarchy that has entrenched itself mainly through money printing and through the Federal Reserve banking system. That can't be undone by one guy in one or two administrations. So we shouldn't have unrealistic expectations of any single politician getting all of that done. But beyond that, it's really not even about Trump himself, right? I think mature, educated adults should be able to go by the issues, right? Instead of being on teams, it's almost like it's like UFC or something, or again, back to WWF. We're not on teams. We're on issues, and that's the most important thing. And if Trump's wrong about warp speed, if he's wrong about the Epstein files, if he's wrong about Iran, then we have to disagree with those issues. But you've got people who essentially adopted a cult attitude that you can't disagree or you can't criticize issues or positions without suddenly being anti-MAGA, or you're not a true American, you're a traitor, you're a foreign agent and an operative. And so we have to be careful of all these traps and the false dialectics. Again, one of those dialectics is, well, if I disagree with the Iran war, and if I disagree with the Zionist position and the need to go to war for Israel, then I must choose Islam as an aid, an ally. Islam is not an ally. In fact, Islam, as many of the rabbis say, and Zionists say, is the broom of Judaism. It's the thing that comes in and clears the way for what Jews believe will be a future Jewish supremacy and a Jewish state run out of Jerusalem or perhaps Tel Aviv that will be the center of the world in the future. That's the Jewish supremacy attitude going all the way back to ancient rabbinic traditions about the nation state of Israel and their Messiah that's not Christ. Or perhaps Moses Hess, the founder of modern Zionism in its political reality, and also the father of modern utopian socialism. Those two things go together. Now, I don't have to choose between Tony Soprano and the five families of New York, right? Why do I have to? That's a false choice. But everybody seems so easily duped into, well, I either have to choose Laura Loomer or Sneeko. It's only two options. There's no other possible options. What about the Christian option? What about an Orthodox Christian option that's not Zionism or Islam? That's not Mossad or Hamas? Like, what about some other option? Maybe we should start thinking outside of these basic bitch dialectics that everybody falls into. And again, Trump will be out of office in not that long. And then what? Are we going to be members of some new cult? Are we going to be in the Gavin Newsom cult, the Kamala cult, the Big Mike cult? It's all absurd. The only way to fix things is to understand that the real power structure is the oligarchical elite that control things at a corporate and banking level. Everybody has now conveniently forgotten the whole Epstein fiasco. And that was partly, I think, why the timing, I know that the war was planned before Epstein, but the timing of the war suddenly put Epstein on the back burner or out of everyone's minds when it was the biggest story in decades. And it was easily removed via a sudden war that was supposedly necessary. Why? Because of an imminent threat, but that's been an imminent threat for how many decades, according to Netanyahu? They're 2 weeks away from a bomb. And then 5 years later, they're 2 weeks away from bomb. Five years later, they're 2 weeks away from bomb. So every 5 years, they're 2 weeks away from a bomb. And it's the same model of Oded Yanon. It's the same model of the Clean Break Strategy. And it's the same model of the Seven Nations plan that Wesley Clark talked about. It's the same plan. There might be modifications to specific operations in specific countries, because if you compare Oded Yanon to Clean Break, some of the nations listed change and some of the plans change a bit. But overall, it's the same strategy and the same plan, and it's the same reason why we did what we did in Iraq. It's the same reason why we did what we did in Syria. And it all ties back to 9/11. And qui bono, who gains from 9/11? Well, certainly not Americans and not the so-called petrodollar. Now, I do want to remind everybody that there will be a big debate this weekend, and this is hosted by a couple of Tucker's producers. And if you go to my X account, you'll see at the top of it, or very near the top of it, there is a live debate in Nashville this weekend. This will actually tie into some of the things that we're discussing right now, but I will be live debating two Freemasons, one of whom is Chase Geyser. You may have heard of Chase Geyser. He's former InfoWars host. I think he's moved on to do other things. I'm not exactly sure what he's up to. I'm not criticizing him or dissing him. I'm just saying we did agree to do a public formal debate with me versus him and his friend. And that will be live in Nashville this weekend. This weekend. Saturday, April 18th at 6 p.m. And you can get tickets to that. It may be sold out, or it may be nearing sold out. It's not a massive venue. It probably holds 100, 150 people. But you can get those tickets if you go to my X account at the very top. And there's the image and the link. Now, to get back to the subject that we're discussing, which is the globalist turn, we can see that Leo has fallen on the side of the dialectic that's saying we need Chrislam. We need the alliance of Islam and Christianity. And again, he didn't just go visit mosques and say that mosques are spaces proper to the worship of God. He also signed another joint declaration with the imams. They're signing what's called the Golden Book in one of the largest mosques there in Algiers. And this is relevant because we're beginning to see perhaps what Frank Herbert foresaw. Now, Frank Herbert was more than just a science fiction author, the author, of course, of the Dune series. He was also, at some level, a neocon, perhaps, speechwriter for the GOP and for a certain GOP elites. I think that's right. And he also studied quite a bit of perennial philosophy and syncretism and comparative religion. And he foresaw in those stories, if you're not aware, and Dune 3 is coming out very soon, by the way, he foresaw a union of Islam and Catholicism. Isn't that fascinating? And now what's being pushed openly is Chrislam by the Pope. We're going to talk about Dune, the predictive programming in Dune, and Chrislam when we come back after this break. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of jaysanalysis.com.
One of the most important things to me in my life is to get things right and to tell the truth and to be accurate. That's why they say Alex Jones is right. But it's not just our news, our prediction, our information that are incredibly accurate. It's the products. And out of all the amazing supplements at thealexjonesshow.com, our methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, is the best you're going to find on the market. It's so good for your body. Instant, clean, amazing energy. You owe it to yourself, if you sat on the fence, to go to thealexjonesshow.com right now and get ultra methylene blue. And believe me, you are going to want to reorder it again. We have an 84% reorder on that product. No other supplement anywhere has anything even close. That is how amazing it is. Secure your ultra methylene blue now at thealexjonesshow.com. And thanks for keeping us on the air.
Repeat what you said is happening. You feel in the...
I feel like that stuff in my fingers. I feel tingling fingers.
There's the camera. Blast them with full power right there.
Ah!
Yeah!